After 36 years, Argentina is back on top of the soccer world. Today's final was a stunning, at times heart-stopping battle between Argentina's Lionel Messi and France's Kylian Mbappe, who both scored multiple goals. In all, it was a World Cup tournament to remember, with major upsets, ascending talent, controversies, and a thrilling finale. Christine Brennan is a sports columnist for USA Today. She joins us now to share her insights on this year's World Cup. It's great to have you here. And Christine, I gotta say, that final was perhaps the most extraordinary soccer game I've ever watched. What were some of your takeaways?
Jeff, without a doubt, it was a masterpiece. It was just beautiful. And I think because of the twists and turns and the surprises, that made it all the better. So for the first 79 minutes, we're all thinking Argentina has this. Two early goals, one by Messi, one set up by Messi. The first was on a penalty kick. And Argentina went into halftime 2-0. France is looking lethargic. They'd had a flu outbreak. They just don't look like that offensive machine that we knew they were. And they don't seem to be mustering any kind of offensive threat at all. And then, boom, the 80th minute, and then a minute and a half later, the 81st minute, Mbappe literally takes the team on his shoulders, a penalty kick, and then a beautiful goal where he doesn't let the ball bounce and gets in the air. Just textbook, glorious, picturesque goal. All of a sudden, it's tied 2-2. Of course, Messi answers in overtime. Of course, Mbappe answers in overtime on a penalty. And then it goes to the penalty kicks, which, of course, Argentina ended up winning 4-2. It was, as you said, thrilling, exciting. And I think, again, because of the twists and turns, because most people are going, this game's over. No, it wasn't. The best was saved for last, and it was exquisite soccer for those, 30, 40, 50 minutes that the world was watching.
Absolutely. And Mbappe is now, the first man since 1966 to score three goals in a World Cup final. By the next World Cup, he will still be in his prime, but Lionel Messi is 35. He's an old man by soccer standards. He had hinted that this would be his last cup, and he goes out with a win. What does that mean for him? What does it mean for Argentina?
Jeff, it means everything for Messi. This was the one he wanted. He has every other trophy multiple times over. But to not have a World Cup title for one of the greatest of all times, and there are many people tonight thinking he is the greatest of all time, would have just been a glaring omission. And he had said, as you're referring to, that this is it for him. 35 years old, not that old in the real world, but old in soccer. And interestingly, Argentina's last win in the Men's World Cup was 1986. Messi was born in 1987. So his entire life, there's been disappointment for Argentina until today. And absolutely, it was just the perfect ending. When sports gives us that great ending, when sports are good, they're great. And as a sports journalist all these years, Jeff, this is what you live for. That exquisite storyline that ends exactly, the old fairy tale ending. And then Mbappe, as you mentioned, he turns only 24 in 2 days. So even though he's already won a World Cup with France 4 years ago and almost won another one, we have many, many more World Cups, hopefully, to watch him with the magic on the field that he exhibits every time he touches a ball.
Yeah. Morocco was a big surprise this go-round as well. I mean, what do you see as the significance of their success?
It's opening up Africa and other places to say, hey, we're playing soccer too, and they're playing it at a very high level. The game of soccer, men's soccer in particular, stronghold for generations, as we know, with Europe, with South America, Brazil, the great Brazilian teams, Pele, bringing the game to the United States. That's the first name I heard in soccer growing up was Pele. And when you think about Africa as a nation that is, the potential is extraordinary, and never making it to a World Cup quarter or semifinal until Morocco did it. So it's exactly the kind of diversity of geography, as well as, of course, diversity with men and women and so many others factors that soccer needs really to grow and even get better into the 21st century.
There was lots of excitement on the field. There was also lots to talk about off the field as well, given that Qatar hosted this tournament.
That's true. And we were all rightly discussing it. I mean, Qatar, with its terrible record of human rights, awful record on LGBTQ rights, awful record on women's rights, and of course, the tragic and just awful stories of the deaths of migrant workers who were brought in to build these gorgeous stadiums that we all marveled at, but to always remember the loss of life and just the tragedies that the Qataris allowed to happen on their watch. Of course, they never should have hosted the World Cup. They won it under the table with all kinds of bribery and allegations of bribes, but they did host it, and it went well for them. But I do think, Jeff, as you know, as a longtime journalist as well, that the spotlight that we were able to shine, that the whole world, all the journalists, TV cameras, able to shine on Qatar and all of the terrible things going on in that country, that was a very valuable a part of this story. They were so happy to host the World Cup. And of course, what they got was scrutiny unlike anything they've had before, deservedly so. And hopefully that scrutiny will continue, especially on LGBTQ rights, especially on women's rights in Qatar moving forward. Hopefully we don't just forget after the World Cup ends, oh, everyone goes home and forgets. Qatar is hoping for that. But let's hope the journalists continue to do our job to continue to look at those issues.
That's a great point. And look, soccer fans can look ahead 7 months from now to the Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand this summer. Christine Brennan, thanks so much for your time and for your insights.
Thank you, Jeff.